Hi, and welcome to the Deeper Than Money podcast. I am your host, Chloe Elise. I'm a millennial money coach, speaker, dog mom, and a 7 on the Enneagram, and I am on a mission to prove to you that finances can be fun and easy. On the Deeper Than Money podcast, we will dive into all things millennial finance, debt, saving, mindset, and how to have financial freedom to enjoy life in your 20s and 30s. I want you to leave this podcast with more confidence around your moolah and the belief that your biggest financial dreams are possible for you. So, let's talk money. Hello, and welcome back to the Deeper Than Money podcast. Today is an exciting day because I am going to be talking about the journey to becoming a millionaire, which still sounds wild. And if you have been around, on social media, following Deeper Than Money for a while, you've known that I have been sharing my net worth transparently, and that my goal for the past couple years has been to become a millionaire before turning 28. So still being 27 and hitting that goal of becoming a millionaire. And I just announced this last week that I officially hit that goal of becoming a millionaire while I'm still 27. So today we are going to break down that process and just the story of becoming a millionaire at 27. So let's back it up. Let's back it up a little bit and talk about kind of where this all started. Growing up in a small town in Iowa, I very early on learned the essence of hard work and entrepreneurship too, I would say. Like I was, you know, setting up lemonade stands as a kid. I had got my first babysitting job at 13, and I taught private swimming lessons. I worked at the like local fair and the Iowa State Fair at the A&W root beer stand. And I just really loved this idea that I could work, I can make money, and then I could use that money to be able to do things. And, growing up, my parents were definitely instilled this idea of hard work in me. And another thing that they really instilled in me is that there's no, I am my own backup plan. Truly, that's one of the best lessons that I've ever learned with money and believed with money. And one story in particular that I think I've shared on the podcast before, but honestly, I should reshare in a different episode because I have so many things I can talk about with it. But one time I was 16 and I got this passed down truck that was older than I was. My parents got it from a family friend. It was like barely running when they got it. They gave it to my sister. And then when my sister went to college, it couldn't leave town because it would just like break down. So it was, had to stay in the small town. It couldn't go on the highway. So then it got passed down to me and it got 8 miles a gallon of gas. And my parents, the rule was you can have this truck, which is a privilege. Absolutely. You can have this truck, but you have to pay for maintenance. You have to pay for oil changes. You have to pay for gas. You have to pay for whatever. Now, when you're, you know, a kid and the only thing between you and like having a car, having a truck is saying, sure, I agree to all terms and conditions, you're going to say yes, right? So I was like, of course, hell yeah. Like, I don't care what I have to pay for. If I get this truck, I get independence. But then right after I got it, paying for gas when your truck gets 8 miles a gallon. And there was constantly things wrong with it. There was no radio. The windows didn't really roll up or down barely. And there was no heat. There was no AC. And there was no locks on it. So you had to manually lock it, but the door didn't shut all the way. So people would like break in the back of my truck in high school all the time, like take stuff out of it. sometimes my friends to mess with me, sometimes people to be assholes. So, but anyway, there was always stuff going wrong with the truck. And I remember one time in particular, the check engine light kept being on. I ignored it. And then fun fact about me, I can jump a car with a blindfold on, because I jumped my car so often in high school because the battery was dying all the time and I didn't have money to buy a new battery. So I would just bring my jumper cables anywhere, make sure I parked by some of my friends or something. And then I would just jump it every day after school to drive home. And then in the morning. So that was just incredible. And I know I'm going off on a tangent, but anyway, one time there was something happened with the truck. Like the check engine light was on and it wouldn't even start, even though I kept jumping it. So I was like, oh my gosh, I think I need a new battery. But so I bought a new battery. I saved up to buy a new battery from babysitting, bought a new battery. And then it was still like dying a lot and the check engine light was still on. So finally I took it in and the mechanic was like, his name was Greg. He was like, yeah, you have to fix this. Like, I can't let you drive this off a lot. It's not safe. And I don't remember how much it was. In my head, thinking back, it was like $1,000, but I don't even think it was that much. I'm sure it was like a couple hundred. And so he's like, yeah, you can't drive it off the lot. So I call my dad and I'm like, Dad, like let's say it's $500. I honestly don't remember. It just seemed like $1,000,000. I'm like, Dad, it's $500 to fix the truck. Like, what do I do? And my dad kind of laughs and he goes, I don't know. I mean, I would start by walking home if you don't have that money. And I was like, wait, what? He's like, yeah. I mean, I would like, I'd walk home and leave the truck there until you can save up the money to go and get it. And now that might sound hardcore, but I was from small town Iowa. So it was like, I'm sure that's probably a mile or less than a mile walk from my house to the mechanic. And so I walked home and I was pissed at first, you know, like poor me, like my friend's parents are like, they get what's that called? Not stipend, an allowance, like for getting all A's. And here I am, like my parents won't even do this. And I was so mad for like the first little bit of the walk home, but again, incredibly privileged that I was even like given this truck. But at some point in the walk home, that mindset shifted from this like poor me behavior to this like, okay, well, how am I going to make this money? Like, I need this truck back. Like, how am I going to make this money? So I texted the mom that I babysat for and was like, hey, you know, do you need me this weekend? When can I come over and watch the kids and whatever else? So I don't know how long it took. It seemed, in my memory, it seemed like a long time, but I'm sure it was only a couple weeks. Saved up the money, brought the money in cash back to the mechanic, got my truck back. And it was then that I really learned this idea of working hard for money, you know, like this like Midwestern, like bootstrap, like pull yourself up by your bootstrap and, you know, go out there and work mentality. And I for sure had that. And then that was coupled with this idea of like, nobody's coming to save me. Like, I am my own financial backup plan. I got to figure this out. So I didn't know anything at that point about how to save, how to invest, how to do really, I knew like no financial literacy. I just knew, all right, like your girl's going to make money. And of course that looked very different at 16 when I was working like a bunch of different part-time jobs. But then I went to college. I signed the papers to get a student loan debt that I knew nothing about. I couldn't tell you if it was $500 or if it was $1,000,000. I had no clue, but I signed the papers because I thought, oh, everybody has student loan debt forever. That's just like what you do. So went into debt. And then in college, I had a very similar attitude when it came to working as I did in high school. I got a bunch of part-time jobs. I babysat. I worked in the mailroom. That was my work study. So all of that money like went straight towards paying for my tuition. And then I had to pay for some tuition on top of it. My parents helped me with a little portion of the tuition. I paid a little portion of the tuition and then I had student loans as well. And then I had to pay for food but my rent was part of like room and board or whatever. So anyways, my mindset was super similar in college. Work hard, make money, spend the money, money's gone, I'm stressed about money. It was just this constant cycle. And then I was constantly stressed. I would constantly feel guilty for spending. But at least I made money, right? Like that was my thought process. So this went on for a couple years. And then finally my junior year of college, I go through a breakup, and in the breakup, I was really questioning myself, right? I was just like, who am I? Like, why? Like, I was really, you know, you throw a pity party for a while. Like, I was just sad and whatever. But then after a little bit of just straight sadness, I had this moment where I was like, what do I even want, right? Like, what do I want? Going through this breakup, like, it kind of shifted my entire trajectory, because up until that point, I was like, I want to, you know, I want to stay, like, I want to stay in this town or go wherever, and I want to get married right away, and I want to settle down and have kids right away, and I want to do this and whatever else. And so when I went through this breakup, I was like, wow, that, like, my entire vision of what was going to happen to my life changed. And because of that, it felt really scary and out of control. And I felt like just self-conscious about like who I was and all these things about me. And so I really decided that I wanted to change that. And so I kind of sat down and decided, like, who do I want to become? What kind of life do I want? And I just started writing down things. Like, I wrote down, like, I want to feel confident. I want to, you know, feel really strong. Like, I want to learn how to, like, how to work out in a way that I feel strong instead of feels like a punishment. I want to, you know, be able to travel. I want to not be so stressed about money. I wrote all these things. And for some reason, money was on that list multiple times, right? Because money was a huge stressor in my life. I was also at this time sacrificing a lot of like going out with my friends in order to work. And then I'd work, but then I would have no money because I would spend it. So then I'm like, I still feel broke. Why am I missing out on fun with my friends? Might as well be broke and do fun things with my friends instead of be working and then miss out. So I was kind of just like a ball of stress around money. And so when I sat down on looking at this list of like, here's all the things I want to change in my life and work to be this, to become this woman, one of the things that stuck out to me was money. And I was like, money is impacting all of these things, because it was like, oh, I don't want to go to the gym because I don't have time because I'm working, but I'm working because I'm trying to make money, but I spend the money and so then I feel guilty, and then I spend the money because I'm, you know, mad at work or whatever else. And it, like, so many things came back to money. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna try to figure out money. And so I went on this journey to try to figure out money. And what's so cool is that the struggle in that journey to figure out how to get ahead with money ended up creating my own process of how to get ahead with money, different from mainstream financial literacy, because mainstream financial literacy told me, oh, just stop spending. Spending is the enemy. Cut out all of your expenses. Stop going to the bar. Stop doing this. Stop doing this. Stop doing this. And I was just like, I can't, right? Like, I don't want that. I'm in college. I want to have fun. I want to be spending. But again, then that was ridden with guilt, because all of these, you know, millionaires and financial gurus were telling me that the only way to get ahead was to restrict and give up the things that I, at that time, like spending money on. So that's really where this idea of Deeper Than Money was born, because I knew that I had to figure out a different way to get ahead with money in a way that used strategy and advocating for yourself and confidence around money to get ahead, instead of these super restrictive mindsets of just like, stop spending, don't go to bars. I was like, no, stop going to bars. No, I mean, I did actually try multiple times, so many times for a couple months, like if not longer, I really tried like going on the super restrictive financial advice train. And it just led to constant failure. I'd be like, okay, a no spend week. I'm going to do a no spend week. I would try it. I'd fail. I'd say, screw it. I already failed. Might as well just ball out. Then I would ball out, overspend, impulse spend. Then I would feel massively guilty. And then the next week I would say, I suck. I need to try harder. I'm going to do another no spend week. And it just constantly blew up in my face, and I felt like a failure, and I felt so much shame, and I felt so much embarrassment, and all of these things. So once I kind of had the revelation of like, I can't do it this way. I cannot do it this way. There has to be a better way. I need to find my own process. And that's where I found this process that, you know, I've perfected and created the Deeper Than Money approach, and created ultimately a couple years later, Deeper Than Money, the company. But that's really where I saw this incredible transformation in my life. So, you know, I figured out, this is kind of like during this process, I go through this breakup, I decide, okay, I'm going to figure out money. I learn you got to figure out how much debt you have. So then I figure out that I am like $36,000 in debt in a car loan that I'd bought and in student loans. And I absolutely was devastated. I thought that to me felt like $1 million. I found out what that number was when I was working in the mailroom, and my salary in there was probably $7 or less. And so I'm doing the math of $36,000 divided by $7 an hour, which is what I was making in the mailroom when I found that out. And it just felt impossible. Like, I was like, I'll never get ahead. I'll never be good with money. Like, I will just always be in the cycle of work hard, make money, spend the money, feel stressed, work harder, make more money, and the cycle continues. And so after that initial shock wore off and I started implementing these strategies to get ahead with money, I started seeing results. And so, you know, that was a huge shift in my life. And I ended up paying off the $36,000 of debt in 18 months, totally changed my life. And that was when I was like, if I can do that, what else can I do? What else am I capable of? Like, that was really when I started looking in the mirror, like, holy shit, these identities that, like, this identity that I've been holding on to of being the broke girl, and all of my beliefs around money, about that money's always stressful and I'll always have debt and I'll always do this and I'll always whatever, like, those were all lies. And so if I could change my belief about money, and frankly, with that, my belief about myself, what else could I start believing to be true? And so I started, you know, figuring out, okay, what else? Like, what's next on this journey of, I just paid off all my debt, what's next? And I went for it, right? I went for it over the next couple of years, like, on this journey. I retired my mom, which still to date is one of the most special and important things to me that I've ever done. I bought my parents a car for Christmas, which was such a blessing. And honestly, even telling the story earlier, it's kind of a full circle moment, because cars were always such a stressful thing to me personally, but also I think to my family. Like, there was just always something wrong. Like, always, the car was always broken down, or a huge payment needed to make it, to fix it or whatever. Or I don't know, it was just like super expensive, or the window wasn't working, or this wasn't working. And so cars were such a just stressful thing. And so to be able to do that and say, here's a new car that has a warranty on it, so if anything's broken, like, it's not your problem, like, it will just get fixed and whatever else, like, that was really cool. And that was such a blessing. And another huge milestone was buying my dream lake house. I bought the lake house of my family friends that I grew up going to every summer. And I mean, that was wild. That was so sentimental to me and so special. And I hope, like, my plan is to have it forever. I love it so much. It is my happiest place. And I just, there's no greater feeling than being at the lake with all my family or all my friends, and it's sunny and the music is blaring and the mountains are blue. I just learned that. I literally didn't know what that meant. It basically just means beer's cold. And all the things, right? My dogs are so happy. Like, it's just, oh my God. It makes me so happy thinking about it. But I bought my dream lake house. I got a boat, I got a jet ski, all the lake things. And, I just love it so much. And then, let me take it back. So prior to buying the lake house, I set this goal of I'm going to try to become a millionaire by 27. And it seemed crazy. Like, it seemed literally impossible, but so did all these other things that I had figured out a way to do. And so I just thought, you know, why not? Like, why not try for it? And I think also, and this is something that I'm proud of myself for, but when I made an Instagram post in 2019 and I said my goal is to become a millionaire by the time I'm 27, and I didn't know how I was going to do it, and it did seem incredibly impossible. But when I made that post, like before I made that post, I thought to myself, like, this is my goal. Like, this is my goal, but I shouldn't share it, because if I share it and I fail, everyone will know. But then I kind of had this moment where I was like, you know what? I am okay with sharing this goal and people seeing me try and people seeing me fail. Like, I'm okay with that. Like, what does it mean if I say, hey, I have this goal and I go for it and then I fail? Like, is it really failing? No, like, especially because in my approach and what we teach at Deeper Than Money, especially in Wealth Accelerator, is that we teach this aligned, holistic approach of how to get ahead with money to where the journey isn't a sacrifice. So I knew that if I share, hey, you know, I have this goal of becoming a millionaire by the time I'm 27. And I knew that if I didn't hit that goal, I wouldn't look back at 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, the past 4 or 5 years and say, wow, I just sacrificed so much in those 4 years and I didn't hit my goal. No, because that's not how I get ahead with money. And that's not how I teach how to get ahead with money. Because if you're just sacrificing everything, and you're doing everything you can to give up your lifestyle and the things that you care about in pursuit of monetary goals, what is the point? What's the point? Like, I think one of the reasons I felt so confident in sharing my net worth updates that I would share all the time and sharing my journey to becoming a millionaire at 27 is that I knew that if I didn't hit it, it would just be, all it would mean is that I set this goal and I didn't hit it. That's all it would mean. It wouldn't mean I gave up years of experiences and memories with my friends. It wouldn't mean that I gave up traveling and I gave up things that I cared about and prioritized in order to hit a monetary goal. It would mean that my years have been full of fun and memories and experiences and all the things that I prioritize and care about, but I also was able to work towards this goal. And so again, like, I was okay with failing. Like, I was okay with trying in front of the public eye. And if I didn't hit the goal, I didn't hit the goal. And if I did, hell yeah, that's incredible. And so I wanted it to always feel expansive and not scary. And the wild thing is that when I set this goal in 2019, it was seemingly impossible. I had no clue how I was going to do it, but that was the whole point. The whole point was I sat down, I wrote this goal, and it felt so wild. Like, I would just dream. I'd be like, okay, what if I hit this? How could I hit this, right? There are millions and millions of ways that could work for me to hit this goal. How could I do it? And it made me more creative and it made me more abundant because I was constantly thinking of what are all of the ways? What are all of the ways? Like, I could do this, I could do this, I could do this. And so because I had this goal now, instead of having this like closed vision on just the things in front of me, I started looking so much further ahead of like, what strategic things can I do now to set myself up to where that can work? And so that is what the last couple years have been. And the wild thing is, you know, I've made, like, I really prioritized investing along this goal. Like, I really prioritized investing, which has been huge, and which is something I'm incredibly passionate about people gaining confidence and understanding in, because that has been a huge part of building wealth, and not just building wealth today, but the trajectory of that wealth that will be built in the future. So that's big. And the crazy thing is, I've made bad investments and decisions that have failed in pursuit of this goal. And all of those ones, all of the, like, more so like not great investments or decisions that I've made are all things that were, like, I don't know, just more so, I don't know, like, outside of the box, like, okay, can this work? Can this work? Whatever else. All of the things that did work are the fundamental principles of getting ahead with money. I, you know, my first goal that I ever hit was paying off my student loans and paying off my car loan, and then went, like, hitting that debt-free milestone. Working on raising my credit score, working on setting up my investment accounts, working to save an emergency fund, working to all of these different things, like learning these strategies, how to negotiate, how to advocate for yourself, all of those things, those are the things that worked. And I know it's like, it seems simpler, and it might seem like, no, where's the secret? Like, there's no secret. It's financial literacy. Again, a huge reason, like, a huge part of this is also being able to raise my income. But a lot of, like, 6 months of the paying off my $36,000 of debt, 6 months of that, I was in college. I was working part-time jobs. And then right after that, it was just my corporate job. So yes, I have had success being an entrepreneur, and I have had success in business. And of course that has helped, but that is not the sole reason I've had financial wins throughout my history, throughout the last however many years, almost 10 years, like 7 years. And it's just it's so wild, because now, you know, to bring it up to speed. So, you know, I got the lake house in 2021, and then in 2022, well, I officially closed on my first investment property in January of 2023, but I actually found the property and decided to purchase it in 2022, but it was a new build. Like, they basically, like, gutted a building and then, like, redid it. And so for that, like, the building, we were supposed to close a lot sooner, but then it kept getting pushed back. So ended up closing on that in January of 2023. And so that was really exciting. And I'm going to share more about that soon. I have a whole podcast episode specifically about that process and why I decided to do it and all of the things I've already learned from it and everything like that. The goal for that is, it's going to start as an Airbnb rental. And so I'm super excited to share my thought process and, how that journey looks like, as it's still really fresh and we're still diving into it. But as soon as I have all of the feedback collected, I will for sure share that. So, you know, all of these different things collectively came together where recently I hit my goal of becoming a millionaire by 27. And it's so wild because it still feels like so interesting to say that. And I think my favorite part about it is I don't even know how to exactly articulate this, but it's like, you, at least for me, I pictured who a millionaire was, or like, when I pictured a millionaire, that the version of that person didn't look anything like me, didn't act anything like me, was completely different than who I was. And so it was really hard to picture me as a millionaire. and just like the, you know, I'm like such a basic bitch. I love like patio margaritas. I have two little golden doodles that are my whole life. I love buttered noodles or ramen noodles. I love to go out with my friends. I'm trying to think of like other, I don't own anything designer. I don't think I own, I don't own one thing designer. I don't, like there's just, I don't know. I had all these stereotypes of what a millionaire was and I never looked like that or acted like that or identified like that. And so I think the coolest part is busting this myth into that mold gets to fit me. I don't have to fit that mold. A millionaire gets to look like me and not I have to look like this idea that I had of what a millionaire looks like. And I think that's the coolest thing is that I still in so many ways am that same 16-year-old girl from small town Iowa. And like that's still who I am and how I think. But I also get to have that identity of being a millionaire. And so that's what's so cool. And that's what really is exciting. And it feels so wild. And I think the biggest thing that I want to share with you and encourage you to do is to set some sort of goal for yourself. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be a goal. Like, let it be a dream. Let it be like, oh man, if I could imagine having, you know, living on a farm or moving to this city or having this job or like whatever it is that might feel crazy and impossible, claim it. Even if it's just for you, write it down in your notepad and say, I claim this. Like, I am going to do this, or I want this, or I have this, or like say it in first person, right? Like, write it down because it might feel impossible, sure. However, the most important thing is just getting one step closer. Because if you don't believe it's possible, you'll never work towards it, right? Because it's like, it's impossible. So why would I do that? If like I can never fly, so I have never tried to do anything that would allow me to fly. Like I've never practiced my run that would then, you know, I'd be able to jump in the air and fly. I've never worked on like flapping my, I don't know, this was a bad analogy, but why would I work towards that? I'll never be able to fly, right? Like I'll never, why would I ever that? Like it would be so silly to practice that. It would be just, I can't do it, right? So like our brain, if you say it's impossible for me to become a millionaire, it's impossible for me to get this job, it's impossible for me to move to the city, your brain will never look for ways that that could happen. But if you claim it, and remember, you can be okay with this idea that what if, you know, like if I don't hit that, like that's okay. It doesn't mean anything about you to try for a goal or to go after a dream, but write that down because if you claim it, all you have to do is ask yourself, what would be one step that would get me in that direction? What would be one step that would, you know, increase my net worth a little bit or get me one step closer to figuring out how I could live on this farm or how I could move to the city or whatever else? Because the truth is there's a million ways that whatever that dream is that you have could work. It's just about figuring out how to do it. So I know recently I did a My Story podcast where I shared a little bit about this same story, but I wanted to share it again and with a little bit of a different ending of, you know, this story of me at 19 donating plasma to pay my bills, to buy groceries, my card declining every other time I went to the grocery store, to hitting my goal of becoming a millionaire at 27. It's so wild. And again, like I don't share that because I want you to sit there and be like, oh my gosh, you're like so cool. Like I want to share this because I want I want you, in all of us, there are things that we're sitting here, even me today, there are things I'm sitting here thinking, oh, I could never do that. Oh, that could never happen. Oh, whatever else. What are those things though? Write them down. Like, what are things that you want, but you genuinely have told yourself can never happen? That's what I want this episode to do. To encourage you to start, to encourage you to take one step, to encourage you to just dream a little bit more and a little bit differently than what you're allowing yourself to dream today, because you absolutely never know what can happen in the pursuit of those dreams. And I would argue that those dreams are placed on your heart for a reason. And of course, you know, I'm going to say, you know what I'm about to say. If you're like, wait, but I have financial goals. Like, I have money goals. I want to get ahead with money. I want to hit, I always say bajillionaire status instead of millionaire, because millionaire might not be your goal. It doesn't have to be your goal. Maybe it is. Awesome. Let's make it your goal. Like, who knows? But whatever that financial goal is, if you're like, I want to raise my credit score, I want to save a shit ton of money by raising my credit score on, you know, a future mortgage or whatever else. I want to know how to negotiate. I want to know how to advocate for myself so I can save money, so I can invest money, so I can pay off debt faster, so I can do all these things. And also so I can do it while living my life, enjoying my lifestyle and having these current priorities. If that's something that you are ready to dive all in and commit to, Wealth Accelerator is the place to go and do it. It's our 12-week high-level signature program designed to teach you everything you need to know about how to build wealth and how to get ahead with money, learn how to spend in a way that is no longer stressful, and see wild results. We're currently opening currently have application or enrollment opened. Oh my gosh, I can't talk. We currently have open enrollment for our April round that's coming up so freaking close. So if you are interested, now is the time to go and apply and just jumpstart your financial journey. But thank you again for being here and for being along for the journey and along for the ride. I love being able to share stories and just talk openly and transparently about money, because when we do that, we all get to benefit from that. We all get to use each other to be expanders and to go after these dreams and to be encouraged and everything else. And so I'm super excited. I am so proud of hitting this goal, and I can't wait to share what is in store in the future.